In September 1533, 14-year-old Catherine de' Medici boarded a galley headed from Porto Venere on the northern shore of Italy towards the port city of Villefranche on the southern coast of France, not far from Nice. The weather was fair for sailing. She expected to arrive within days. She brought with her a wealth of treasure packed in trunks and crates and jewel boxes. She carried with her, too, a wealth of memories, of suffering, fear, even terror, along with memories of laughing cousins, the scent of rose pomanders, the sticky taste of sweet buns smeared with jam. In Nice, she would meet the French king, now her sovereign, the man who would soon become her father-in-law. She would also meet her son, her future husband Henry, Duke of Orléans. Not yet betrothed, she already thought like a bride. She still signed her name Caterina, but would soon switch to Catherine. She'd already tried out that signature once or twice, gripping the quill firmly in her fingers as the ink flowed onto the page. In a way, Catherine de' Medici's story begins not at her birth, but rather on those waters, under those Mediterranean skies, the sails of her ship whipping against a late summer breeze. This was the moment of her crossing from Italy to France, from maiden to bride, from the Medici family to a royal French one, from girlhood to young womanhood. Already she had assumed a new importance as those who observed the pendulum of Renaissance politics now took note of her, measuring her looks, her bearing, her potential to give birth. From this moment forward, the traces of Catherine will appear more prominently in the archives. At 14, she was barely in her teens, ignorant of what the coming years would bring. And yet to the 16th century world, this part of her story was nothing new. A wealthy girl leaves her homeland to marry a prince, neither for love nor looks, but for the dowry and value she brings. This had been the path charted for Catherine's mother, for countless girls of Catherine's time and place, a path that, to a girl like Catherine, must have seemed as ancient and predictable as the rising sun. She left behind neither mother nor father in Italy. Catherine had been an orphan almost since birth. Her father had been Lorenzo di Piero de' Medici, Duke of Urbino, and ruler of Florence. The scion of the Medici family's senior branch, Lorenzo was the grandson and namesake of the great 15th century Florentine banker and patron, Lorenzo de' Medici, known as Il Magnifico. Her mother had been a teenaged French princess, Madeleine de la Tour d'Auvergne, Countess of Boulogne. A fact that her contemporaries, and many a historian since, would sometimes forget. Madeleine had been an orphan too, by the time of her own wedding to the Italian Lorenzo, married on the orders of that same French sovereign, King Francis I. Even as a squalling infant in Florence, Catherine had commanded the attention of King Francis, who from far off France began cogitating plans for the child, knowing she had the potential to bring new lands under French rule. Several years would pass before the king's projects for Catherine could unfold as he hoped, and long before those plans came to fruition, Madeleine de la Tour d'Auvergne had died. When she set sail on that galley in September 1533, Catherine de' Medici was travelling to a land both unknown and strangely familiar, her mother's kingdom. She was finishing her mother's story, and in a sense, Catherine was coming home. Baptised Caterina Maria Romula in the Medici parish church of San Lorenzo, she was the great-granddaughter of Il Magnifico. Every important event in her childhood turned on this single fact. From her earliest years, Caterina was subject to the whims of princes and the ebb and flow of Italian and European politics. Even her conception had been political, her flesh and blood plotted by ambitious relatives who anticipated her birth with both delight and greed.